Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to another edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with Paul's solo career. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And I'm here with my partner in crime, my buddy, my backwards traveler. He is the one and only Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
Day 8 of the lock-in, and I'm surviving.
You're surviving. I'm glad to hear that. Well, I mean, it looks like from behind you, you've got plenty to do to keep you occupied.
Plenty. I've got a wall full of albums that I haven't even organized from my move 2 months ago yet. So, you know, everybody's kind of coming up with inventive ways to do things during this, what's going on. And I've seen some really cool stuff from people online posting different music stuff. So that could be another little side project as a side to our two-leg show here. But yeah, I've got more than enough to keep me busy here at the lake.
Cool. Yeah, you know, that was one of the things I could have, you know, helped you with you know, coming out there for the fest that was supposed to happen this weekend. But as everybody knows, that's been canceled and now been pushed to October, which the new dates now for the Fest for Beatle fans are October 9th, 10th, and the 11th. So hopefully everybody I was planning on going can go. I know I'm going to be able to. I just got an email from my airline company saying that I can change the dates if I want to, free of charge. So I will be taking care of. Yeah, I'll be taking care of that today or tomorrow, switching over the dates so I can get out there and hang out with you. And you know,
it's a nice day. I mean, it's not as we wish it could have been this weekend like everything else, but we're adjusting. But the dates that they chose to be in October are nice because it falls and coincides on Lennon's 80th birthday, which is cool.
Absolutely, which is going to be cool because hopefully we can get to Strawberry Fields, check that out, and that'd be a really cool weekend to do that for, like you said, his 80th, what would have been his 80th birthday. So
absolutely
looking forward to that. In other news, also there was the cancellation of the Glastonbury Festival, which was celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. No news on whether or not they're just canceling it or postponing it or, you know, a makeup date. We don't know. And maybe they're just going to, you know, wait it out and then start back up again next year. We'll see. And then who knows if Paul McCartney is going to do it next year, if that's when they're going to, you know, do it again. So we'll see. Hopefully he still does the show. I know there were some complaints about him doing it since he just did it, what, in 2007 or 2004 or something like that? He did the festival?
Yeah, he did it. He did it in 2004. Yep.
Right. Yeah. So, you don't know. I mean, we still don't know about his other tour dates in Europe. I know a couple of those dates have been canceled, but I'm not going to be surprised if the rest of those tour dates end up getting postponed. So we'll just wait and see, as well as Ringo too. You know.
Yeah, Ringo was supposed to hit this area, the East Coast in June, and I don't think there's been any announcement from him yet on regarding those dates. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wait and see right going on right now, especially for the summer tours. I know all the tours that were supposed to happen, you know, this March, April. It looks like May, all of those shows have pretty much been...
Especially in this part of the country where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye out on that and let you know if anything changes. I'm sure they're going to be all over the internet anyways. So, you know. But you know, Andy, this week we're going to talk a little bit about this guy right here. This is McCartney years. We're going to talk a little bit about this set. We're going to discuss what our favorite videos are. We're going to talk about what a couple of our least favorite videos are. But this set right here came out in 2007. This was a 3-disc set. Do you remember hearing about this? Do you remember seeing? Did you pick it up right away? What were your initial thoughts on the package?
I did get it right away. Because as somebody growing up in the video age, I was always mesmerized with videos and recording them and getting them all different kinds of ways, either taping them off of VH1 onto VHS, getting them in trades. I even talked with colleagues and friends of mine who were also listening to the show who would go to the fest, right? In the pre-internet days, you know, go to the fest, you go to the video room. That was the only way to watch and see videos and films and stuff like that. So in the pre-internet age, you know, a lot of fans, you know, that was their only way to see that stuff, was to go to a fest or get it in a trade who might have had it. I mean, I know when I was 17 or 18, you know, about 20 years ago, I got, you know, I got tapes from a collector online that just had a bunch of the promos thrown together. And then a couple years later, as kind of DVDs came out there, I ended up getting a set, buying a set of like 6 or 7 DVDs, and they weren't in the best quality. But, you know, it's something as, you know, what was so cool about his videos, that he had so many. He's done so many videos over the course of his career. And obviously, we're going to touch upon this in greater detail. But yeah, I remember hearing about this, and I snapped it up right away, you know, in 2007. And again, hard to come by brand new. And as Tom, you mentioned, you know, you can find it third party pretty much in used places. But to find it brand new is a hard thing to come by. But I was thoroughly pleased for what it was at the time. Was it complete? No. But considering it was the first official release of his videos, you know, 30 some odd years later, I think it was pretty well. And I still think it holds up.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, it's nice to have it, like you said, 2007. You know, YouTube was around. You could still see some of his videos on YouTube. But to actually have, you know, the physical copy in your hands, you can watch it whenever you wanted to. You had, I believe it was 46 videos
on
this package.
And in the best quality.
It's quality. They were digitally transferred. Now, some of the videos could have used some restoration work. You know, we just recently saw a great cleanup version of Wonderful Christmas Time this past December, which looks great.
Yeah.
You know, a lot better than what we see on this package right now. But, you know, it's still nice to have them. They're all digitalized now. They're on this package. Some are missing, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Yeah, and back then too, you're talking 2007, so, you know, almost 15 years ago, not quite. I mean, the process of using upscaling to enhance the videos was an art form and a technology not really done yet. It was more of just kind of get it digitized and get it out there. The whole 4K, like you mentioned, Wonderful Christmas Time got the 4K treatment. You know, I think back then it was kind of just like, well, okay, DVD is the format. Let's make them available to everybody. And you know, kind of get it out there and worry about quality later, I think was kind of the order of the day with this.
Right. Yeah. So the set spans from 1970 to 2005. It's like I said, it's 3 DVDs, 2 DVDs feature pretty much all of the videos that are on the set. The third disc is live stuff, which will feature the Super Bowl performance. You've got the Glastonbury part of the Glastonbury 2004. You got part of the Unplugged from 1991, and you've got part of the Rock Show, which, you know, is kind of a little odd to me that you would include just parts of these sets. It would have been nice at that point in time to have Rock, you know, the complete Rock Show or the complete Unplugged, you know, but it is what it is. The cool thing is on the set too, that like, but if he doesn't do it for all the videos, but he for a few videos he does the commentaries, which I've always enjoyed.
That was a nice touch. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, he says, you know, some certain things about the videos. You know, I know during the Silly Little Love Songs video, I think he had mentioned that that was his favorite version of Wings, that period right there. One of the cool things, too, when you play the third disc and right before you get the Rock Show, the Unplugged, and the Glastonbury, he does like a little 5-minute, you know, introduction where he talks about each show, and you know, he talked about how much he loved doing the Unplugged. He talked about how little work they had to do on it afterwards because it pretty much was perfect right when they did the show. The Glastonbury, he talks about how much he enjoyed doing that. The Live Aid talks a little bit about that too, where he had the microphone issues, you know.
Yeah. Hey, and he threw it on there. God bless him. You know, this was 20, yeah.
Well,
this was 20
he talks about how he went back the next day and recorded it. I think he said he recorded it over again. So, and that's what you hear on the DVD set.
Right.
So, some of the videos well, practically all of the videos have been, released or released on a widescreen format, so that means they just blew it up from its original 1.33 aspect ratio, and they blew it up to was that a 16.9 widescreen, you know, which, and sometimes when you take an image and you blow it up, it kind of blurs it out just a touch, but it's still nice to see.
I've also forgot too that in the booklet that comes with the DVD set, the essay, the intro essay, was written by Barry Miles,
right?
Who actually is the only person actually put Paul's quasi, you know, biography together with Many Years From Now.
Sure.
So, right. If you're looking for an authenticity aspect, you know, Barry Miles pens the liner notes in the introduction, kind of a brief overview of just the aspect of the videos. The concept of actually doing videos going all the way back to the Beatles and shooting, promotional films, as they called them, for Paperback Writer and Rain, and the advent of putting them all together in a couple pages. And then there's like a little bit of a timeline of basically Paul's solo career, you know, basically just going through the years here, which is, you know, nice, you know, put together. It talks about Broad Street and all the different aspects of Paul's solo career in a nice little packet here in the booklet.
Right. So we'll talk about some of the videos here that aren't there. I mean, obviously there's a handful of videos that unfortunately are not on the set. Now, when you think of videos, you think of the Back to the Egg TV special, where it was just all videos, and you've got two videos from that special that are on the set. You've got Goodnight Tonight, and then you've got My Baby's Request. Right. So then that begs to ask the question, you know, why not put on, Getting Closer, Old Siam, Sir, Went to Rose, Love Awakes, Spin It On, and Again and Again and Again, and Arrow Through Me. You know, why can't you put those on there? You know, other videos that are missing, Mary Had a Little Lamb, which we all know there was four videos for that.
And four.
Not including the one on the James Paul McCartney special.
Oh, totally five, so, really.
You know, you got Three Legs, which we know was a video because it was part of the RAM archive box set. You also have Oil So Soleil. That's not there. You don't have Party Party. You don't have The World Tonight or Your Loving Flame. So all which are, you know, some of them are good videos, and it would have been nice to have seen those on there. But, for one reason or the other.
Thoroughness and following, putting things in order doesn't seem to be a high priority in the McCartney camp. At least back then, at least with the archive series, they've got things right with presenting things and how they want things done. But this set kind of has a little bit of that Wingspan, kind of just throw it all out there feel, you know, and just throw it all out there and just see where it lands.
Right.
No rhyme or reason of the order or the songs or anything. Kind of, to me, and coming a couple of years after Wingspan, it kind of just has we're just going to throw it out there, and there's no rhyme or reason to it, but just throw it out there.
Yeah, it is odd that when you play the DVD, it's in a different order, but you can also, you know, hit the chronological, and then it will play all the set in order, you know, which, why not just do that anyways?
It would be nice to see. When you look at the videos that way, you can see how an artist evolved and grew artistically.
Right.
And obviously as once you get into the 80s, you know, the video age, right? The videos become much more elaborate. And I'm sure I don't know your five, but if I was a betting man, I would bet that at least two or three songs in your list of five are from the 80s. If I had to guess. I know mine are. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You see, so
because
that was when the videos, the production style, the videos, there was a lot of thought that went into the videos.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just, even the videos as early as Three Legs, as you mentioned. Again, these weren't even called videos back then. They were just called promotional films.
Promotional films, right.
That's all they really were. They weren't, there wasn't a production value. It was just, even go back to 1970 with the collage slideshow of Maybe I'm Amazed.
Amazed.
You
know, right.
There wasn't an idea of, let's put this together as a video, you know? I mean, right. Certainly as the late 70s dawn, with London Town and with A Little Luck, as we talked about in our previous episode, the videos were a little bit more elaborate, production value, stuff like that. And especially, obviously, by Back to the Egg, he had a whole, you know, video series for it. And then, of course, in 1980 with Coming Up, you know, the gold standard of videos, really, in terms of production. So, it would be, you know, it's just nice to see where they... But again, the videos were still always there. They just weren't, they weren't made with the same production style or care that they would be later on in the 80s and 90s right. and so on.
Yeah. Now, one of the cool things about this DVD set, though, is when you do get to the menus, you see a projector, and you see a screen, and you see, different aspects of Paul's career. And the very first thing you see when you put that first disc in is Paul McCartney doing a version of Blackpool, which is a song that's never been officially released.
Right. In the backyard, right.
Yeah, in the backyard, which is one of the really cool things about this set. I mean, there's clips of him in Wings in New Orleans, I think, during Mardi Gras, which is pretty cool. There's stuff that they're doing. I think they show part of the video for No Values on one of the menus. So there's different things you can also check out while you're deciding what you want to do.
Perusing the menu. I will say, like I said, for the lack of completeness of this, there are some nice nuggets scattered throughout this DVD, as you mentioned, in the menus, and also the extras too. I mean, they included the South Bank show, which was the South Bank show. For anybody who doesn't know, in this country, is a show produced in England that kind of profiles and chronicles albums and artists and, you know, stuff like that. And the South Bank show, this episode is all on Broad Street. And they included it in this, which is really cool. It's been out there before, and you can see that. That's a wonderful thing, because you can see actually Paul and George hammering out, you know, the note for No More Lonely Nights on the piano and bass, and watching the germ of that song come together just with a little riff, you know.
Right.
And that's just on the South Bank show. So there's the little extra nuggets that are available within this are really, really cool.
Right. Some of the videos are in the extra section. Those videos are in their original aspect ratio of 1.33. So you don't get to see them expanded. You got Genius Farm, you got London Town, you got the second Molo Kintyre. Right. On the second disc, you got So Bad. The Parkinson clip on volume two, it's nice, but
From the 1999 appearance on Parky?
I believe so. I think he was promoting Run Double Run, because he's talking about how, you know, what song he did to get into, you know, the Quarrymen at the time, which was 20 Flight Rock. But, you know, we've heard that story 100 times. You know, I would have much rather seen the episode of Parkinson when he was doing Your Loving Flame, when you got David Gilmour off to the side, you know, and he did his little guitar bit.
Right.
But, you know, beggars can't be choosy. The set is what it is, and... It's still a nice set. Like you said, it still does hold up. Hopefully one day we'll get a Blu-ray upgrade version with even more videos on it. And who knows, maybe we'll get a volume two from 2005 to 2020, or whenever he decides to stop making promotional videos, you know, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
even as recent as Egypt Station, he had videos done for Who Cares and for You, you know.
And then Back to Brazil.
Right.
There was a video for it as well. So there's, you know, multiple videos. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I know. When he was teamed up with Jackson, you know, I remember him saying, you know, his little clip of him saying, make sure you do a lot of videos because it'll help your career, you know? So it's,
Right.
Yeah, you know, of course.
So, but we only got one video of the three songs that they did. So, in a way.
Yeah, as we talked about that as well a few episodes ago.
Right. You got part of Creating Chaos at Abbey Road. Which is nice. On volume three, you do get the whole complete Super Bowl performance from 2004. So that's pretty good.
That's the second Super Bowl performance.
Was that his second Super Bowl performance?
Right, because didn't he play again? Didn't he do the Super Bowl in 2001 also when he did Freedom?
I'll have to check.
Pretty sure. I'll have to check that. Pretty sure. Or maybe he opened up. He did two Super Bowls. I know that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, and that's an interesting point that you made up too. I mean, the song Freedom. I mean, he could have done that for his for his performance that he did for 9/11.
Right. The concert for New York City. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of surprised that wasn't added onto the set as well. But like you said, I mean, it's a good set. I'm glad it's here. I'm glad I have it. I still watch it from time to time. But hopefully we'll get a Blu-ray upgrade and a part two with the rest of the videos.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I definitely rank this pretty high in the McCartney video, you know, collection. I know he's got a lot of different videos out there from live performances and stuff like that. But
to be honest, I'm not really into those though. I have them, but I'm not into them. Like The Space Within Us and Back in the U.S.
Yeah,
they're good to have. Yeah, the Russian one. They're good to have. To me, they're too much. They're not. They focus on the audience too much. They jump all over the place. It's not like Rock Show, okay? Rock Show is a concert film through and through. I mean, even the Get Back documentary is more of a concert film. Some of these DVDs, these concert DVDs of his over the last 10 or 15 years, just I'm not really into them because the performances are truncated. They're not the full versions. They cut away to audience stuff and reaction. And I'm just, that's not kind of, I want the performance. I want the 100% performance, undoctored, unedited, and the best quality. And those DVDs, those recent ones over the last 10 or 15 years don't provide that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point, and it's absolutely true. A lot of backstage talking, a lot of backstage, you know, banter about how much they, you know, love, you know, being around Paul McCartney and working for him and playing with him, you know. So, but yeah, to your point, yeah, Rock Show, within just the performance, you get a lot of them. I mean, it does pan off to the audience from time to time, but not as much as these recent.
No, but it also, the Rock Show, he keeps the in between song banter. You know, it's not just performance. You know, there's a flow to a show, right? You know,
yeah, good point.
Tuning up. I mean, you know, that's part of the whole concert experience. You know, when you watch some of these DVDs over the last 10 or 15 years, it's kind of just like, okay, edit, cut to this, and it's just a mishmash of stuff. And I think I might have watched those DVDs once or twice, and that was about it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the repeat watching value on a lot of those discs are, I think, are very low.
Very low. Not like this. Yeah. Not like this.
Right. Yeah, Daddy like this.
Right.
So, but let's talk about some of our favorite McCartney videos.
Sure.
Why don't you start us off? I know, you know.
So all my songs are from the 1980s as well. So that's probably both of us for that. What I found was interesting in researching this, and I knew this, but I looked it up again, is Paul did a lot of work with a company called Keefco to produce a lot of these videos. Going back to like even the Back to the Egg special, and I think even the videos for London Town and I've Had Enough and With a Little Luck, guy's name was Keith McMillan, and the name of the company was Keefco. And Keefco produced almost all of his videos exclusively in the late 70s and 80s. And the ones that I've out of my five that I chose, let's see, one, two, three. Three were produced by Keefco.
Okay.
And Paul talks about this quite a bit on the bonus. If you look at the McCartney 2 archive in the bonus section of the interviews and stuff, he talks about that. Working with the Waterfalls video and the Polar Bear and stuff, and he even talks about it in the deluxe book about the video for Coming Up. He does talk about working with Keith from Keefco, and they have a certain style quality to their videos that kind of link all theirs together. And it was a nice working relationship. I've never really seen Keith McMillan talk about his relationship, working relationship with Paul McCartney. It would be nice to see if there's anything out there, maybe something we can look up and find out. But Keefco, you know, did a lot of work with McCartney on his videos. In fact, even in a collection that I had before the DVDs, I must have gotten like the original 8mm versions because they have like the little countdown, you know, it says produced by Keefco. So that's how I learned about that. But I'll start with my number five, and I'll go in descending order, 5 to 1, Wall to 1. Yeah. My number five is the press video.
Okay.
From which was shot in June of 86, and also it was produced by Keith Coe, directed by a guy by the name of Philip Davey, and that was shot on the London Underground on the Jubilee line, for any of you that have been over there. And I like that one because it's simple. There's nothing crazy about it. It's just kind of him walking around, and it wasn't planned, as I read in the notes before we went on. They didn't contact the authorities or the tube or anybody. They just went down there with a crew and did it. And the people that were on the tube were just cool. You know, it's
great to see their facial expressions throughout that video.
Yeah, you know, there he is. You know, just with the boombox walking around to a pre-recorded track of press. It's not an elaborate video or anything. It's just a simple video. Of him being what he always kind of wants to be thought of, but is not. And that's an ordinary person, or an average person in his case. And he's just
right.
But I mean, the people on the tube take it great in stride, and he walks around and stuff. And I just always like that one because of its simplicity and his carefree attitude. He's going up and down the escalator. And again, it was produced by Keith Coe, but I just nothing, no frills, you know, nothing crazy. Just there he is, just walking around. You know, shooting his video, and again, one that's really not remembered or thought of in terms of classic McCartneyism stuff, but with the videos, but you know, it's a favorite of mine.
Right. You know, and it's, as you look back on it now, it's kind of surprising that he would do something like that just because of, you know, Lennon's death, and you know, you think that, you know, these musicians are now trying to be more protective of themselves. So I'm kind of wondering what kind of, you know, security that, you know, he would have had. Like you said, they didn't contact the police, you know, so, you know, how carefree was this video? I mean, it seems like it was a very, you know, spur of the moment type video where they just went down there, filmed it, and then they got out of there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And a lot of it, he's not even lip syncing to the whole song in a lot of the video. It's just kind of, some parts he is, some parts he isn't. And, you know, you know, so that was my number five.
Say one, say two, say three. I love you very, very, very much, and I really am relying on your touch. But with all these people listening in, I don't know where I ought to begin. Maybe we could hit upon a word, something that the others haven't heard. Tell me.
My number five is the only one that's in the 70s, and that's Goodnight Tonight, which cool. was the last lineup of Wings. It's a lot of fun, in my opinion, just like Press was. You know, I love their dress. I love, you know, the playing style of that song in the video. I love, you know, they all got their hair slicked back, you know, in nice, you know, suits and, you know, tuxes and stuff like that. And then, you know, as it gets closer to the end, you see them starting to get, you know, a little looser and, you know, they're, you know, taking the ties off and whatnot. Yep. And, you know, and then by the end of the video, it's just like one big party, you know. So that's always been a favorite of mine.
One of the things I like about that video is the back and forth between the black and white and the color as the video goes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right. too. Very tastefully done video. And at the end, they kind of all, they're not even in the dress clothes anymore. They're kind of just all running around, right. jumping around, which is right. a nice video.
Right, it is, and it was included in the Back to the Egg TV special, which, you know, a lot of people know by now. You know, the record execs, I think, wanted that song on the Back to the Egg album. I don't know if it would have improved sales. Maybe it would have. Maybe I don't think it still. I don't know if that the strength of that song would have brought that album to number one. But maybe it might have done a little bit better for the, you know, first release for Capitol.
Yeah.
Not Capitol, but Columbia, sorry.
Columbia, here in this country. Yeah, yeah. It could have been.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it could have been. Yeah.
Oh,
right. My number four is the Pipes of Peace video.
Ah, okay.
Again, yeah. Produced by the aforementioned Keefe Co., shot in December of 83. And this is a brilliantly produced video. It depicts a ceasefire on a French battlefield during World War One, Christmas Day, 1914. And you've got the two Pauls in there, you know, one guy playing a French soldier, another guy playing a German soldier, I think. And, you know, it's just, it was a really cool video. The two guys are playing soccer, football. They take a break in the middle of all this fighting, which is based on a true story, from what I read.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're running around playing, and all of a sudden, the bombs break out, and then the guys go back into their separate camps. Right. They're both stuck with the pictures that they swapped of each other's families.
Exactly. That's one of the great moments of that video, I think. You know, they get back in their little camps, and then, you know, he looks at the picture, and he has a nice little smile, and then, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very good moment. You know, yeah. And the cool thing about this DVD set, too, that I forgot to mention earlier, is that these are the full videos. So if there was, like, a little bit of, like, a small, you know, snippet before that song actually started...
Right.
That's on there.
That's
know?
On there, right. So,
yeah.
And that video also won Best Video for 1983 at the British Rock and Pop Awards in 1983. So another one. Again, you know, this is where, again, a little bit different than press, much more elaborate and very expensive, I'm sure, to produce film, mm-hmm. Music video. But that's my number four.
I light a candle to our love. In love our problems disappear. But all in all, we soon discover that one and one is all we long to hear. Children being born to the world, got to give them all we can till the war is won. Then will the work be done? Help them to learn songs of joy instead of burn, baby burn. Let us show them how to play the pipes of disappear, but all in all. soon discovering the one and one is all we long to hear.
Cool. Good pick. Mine is in one, again, another one that's a fun video for me and has a lot of sentimental love for sentimental reasons, and that's So Bad.
Oh, nice choice.
Yeah, you know, it was really cool to see, you know, Ringo, you know, drumming again with Paul. You know, it's always been one of the greatest rhythm sections in, you know, in rock and roll history. So anytime that you can have, you know, Ringo and Paul doing a song together, and then even a video together, I mean, it makes it even better. Now, the song I think is really good. I don't think it's like I don't consider it one of the greatest ballads of all time in Paul's catalog, but it's still a good one. And I think, you know, Ringo House makes it a little bit more fun with his, you know, boom, 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 you know, yeah, and yeah, all his facial expressions throughout the
typical Ringoism
video. Yeah, you know, and I love the looking up part of it, and you know, Linda looks beautiful. Eric Stewart's there, you know. It's. I think it's just a fun video, you know. And that one too, that has a little snippet at the beginning and a little bit at the end, you know. And that's, again, that's all there on the set. So it's really nice video.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice too. Some of these videos, and I talk about this in some of my classes in school. They're not just music videos. They kind of, there's a little bit of a story before the actual music video, right? That's not in every case, but sometimes there are, you know, just to set the stage of what's going on, like in that video and So Bad. Yeah, obviously, they're on some kind of photo shoot set, you know, and they're kind of, that's what they're trying to convey, and then they kind of go right into the song. Sometimes they're a little more elaborate. Sometimes it's just the song, but that's a great case where they do that. A good, excellent choice for sure.
Yeah.
So Bad.
Sure. I don't know yet.
I've just bought a house in Lebanon. Real cheap, cheap.
Okay, here it comes.
Playback.
Girl, I love you so bad.
That's magic. Look me there and check it, Chris.
Ladies and gentlemen, good night. That's a rock, everybody. All right, thank you.
My number three. We're going to go forward a few years to 1989, and we're going to go with My Brave Face.
Ah, very good. Very good.
My Brave Face. Again, more sentimental reasons, as to your point with So Bad. My Brave Face is one of the first true music videos I remember as a young kid. And again, the whole newness of a McCartney album. Plus, it was a kind of, it was kind of a coming together of all things for Paul, right? It was a new video, but it was him kind of being okay with his Beatle past and embracing it, right? Like 4 or 5 years ago, that video, there was no way. He's, you know, he made his peace with his Beatle past. You know, he had kind of gotten through his little mid-80s crisis there, as you guys wonderfully talked about last night on Talk More Talk with Press to Play. You know,
he found
himself again. He got a band behind him. He got an album behind him and a tour behind him. And he's like, and he knew who he was. And that video was, to me, kind of sums up that moment for him getting to that point. You know, okay. And the video is just great. You know, it's a Japanese bootlegger collector who's come into possession of all these kind of crazy Beatle artifacts, the Hofner bass, the Sgt. Pepper uniform, all these old 8mm films. And it's all juxtaposed with the black and white performance of them doing the song. So I think that was so well done. That actually was a video that was not produced by Keith Coe. It was produced by a company called Vanderquest Productions, shot in April of 89. But again, probably not a crazy expensive video. But I love the whole... Because the Beatles by that point were becoming myths, right? And that's Paul just kind of...
Right.
That's Paul just embracing the myth and adding fuel to the fire, if you will, with that, you know? I mean, he got his old Sgt. Pepper uniform out of the closet for the video, you know? So that's really cool. You know, and then great footage of the band playing the song. And that was the world's first introduction, really, to the new band he had assembled, right? You know, so we're seeing Robbie McIntosh and Hamish Stewart and Wicks.
Right.
And all these people and going, well, who are these guys, you know? And, you know, cranking together, you know.
And plus he just went with Paul McCartney. He didn't use a band name.
No, you know? He just got these guys and that was it. And again, it could have just been a video of the band playing, but he kind of put a little bit of a funny spin on it because, you know, bootleggers and stuff like that has just become a thing, you know, by that, especially by 89, you know, was rampant of the bootleg era. So that was Paul just embracing that. And it's just a little funny video that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah. I have fond memories of that video as well. Looking back on it now, it's kind of funny because, you know, growing up in Michigan, you know, my mom, dad, my stepdad at the time, you know, they're Motown people. They care less about Beatles, McCartney. So it was almost like a chore for my mom to, you know, put them TV on when, you know, these Paul McCartney videos and George Harrison videos were going to premiere, you know.
Right.
So I just, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, enjoying the hell out of it. And I can see my mom, you know, my mom's just sitting there going, okay, when's this going to be over, you know. And that was true for that song as well, My Brave Face. And I've always liked that video as well, and I think that's a great pick. And it almost made my top five.
Cool.
I wanna go bury my head.
When I first got this set, I was blown away by this video because we didn't get to see it here because it was a UK video. I've been watching it a lot recently since we've been doing getting ready for this show, and that's Pretty Little Head. I'm not the biggest fan of the album version. However, the 12-inch vinyl version, to me, is just his vocals a lot clearer. I kind of like the mix a little bit better on that one.
His vocals much clearer. That's known as the John Patoker remix.
Gotcha, right. But the cool thing about that video is right before it goes in the song, it has that little snippet of She's Leaving Home.
Awesome.
You know? And, yeah, awesome. And it fits. It really fits. And the video is kind of far out. I wish we would have got this video here. I think it would have done well here. You see parents arguing, the daughter leaving, Paul at the end kind of blowing her back home.
Yeah,
I think it's a cool video.
It all sums up. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. And it's like a video was supposed to be. It's telling a story, just like the song is telling, it's just like the song.
Right. You hear the last few strains of She's Leaving Home and then boom, right into the drums, and it's like,
right.
Wow, this is like telling like a real story here,
Right.
That almost made my top five. Almost. That was right on the outside. That one. That is a great choice. I agree with you on the song. The album version, I'm not too crazy on because his vocals are too drenched in reverb and echo. But the remix by John Patoker, the 12-inch remix, is tremendous. Now I think they use some of that on the video because when it cuts to the sections of Paul, you see Paul's face on the building singing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
His vocals are clear. So I think the video version used some of the remix vocals. They didn't take the album track.
Right. No, you hear his bass playing is a little more predominant in that video, in the video and that mix as well. So I find it a little bit more enjoyable, not as dark, in my opinion, as the press to play version, the album version. So
not at all. And I predict that when we get the archive press to play, that's going to be a song that's going to make people's head spin. They're going to go, wow,
and,
this is really good.
All of those, I believe all of the singles that were released for Press to Play were different mixes. you know, especially the 12 inches one. Because
yeah,
it had just, like, multiple mixes, really.
Multiple mixes, you know, Only Love Remains has a different mix.
Yeah, saxophone solo on there, didn't
it? So that's going to be an album. But that video in particular, I think people are going to go, wow, he was, you know, he was pretty, you know, and again, in 1986, the album got buried in a sea of, you know, Genesis and Prince and everything else that was big at the time. But
Phil,
you know, I think time will be kinder to that album.
Soul came out that year. Peter Gabriel's Soul came out that year as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
That
so
was
had,
just
a,
yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, mega year. You know, Queen had A Kind of Magic also in 86. You know, so
yeah.
Here's Paul McCartney trying to sound like Queen and Genesis and Phil and not really doing a good job of it at that time. I think time's going to show it's going to be pretty kinder to that album, and I look forward to its archive release. But that video in particular,
absolutely.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome choice. Awesome choice.
Okay. Okay, number two for you.
My number two, and I'm sure this is in your top five. It's actually, I think, right around this time, 40 years ago, was when it was shot and produced. And that is Coming Up from 1980. Yeah. Shot in March of 1980, again by Keith McMillan from Keefco. 25 hours it took to produce this video. 25 hours. Because, if you haven't seen it, which if you're listening to this, you have, so which is a moot point, Paul portrays 9 different people in the video. And again, 40 years ago, that's pretty hard to do. Now you could do that in 1 hour in our room. We could edit it. Yeah. We could green screen it. We can do it. In 1980, that was a chore to produce that video. He's got Paul portraying all sorts of different people in the video to Coming Up. Hank Marvin, David Gilmour, Ginger Baker. You've got Linda in there. Paul portraying his Beatle Paul self with the collarless jacket and the Hofner bass. And the band called the Plastic Max. I mean, really, really elaborate video. And of course, it's the one song that kind of got John Lennon's curiosity picked again to go back and record again. But elaborate video for its time, and really cool. I think it set the bar for his videos in the 1980s, really beginning with Coming Up.
1980. Was up late, shouldn't have been up late. I was 7 or 8 years old. Saturday Night Live. I remember watching that video on Saturday Night Live. Remember seeing I don't remember much of the interview that Paul Linda did with Father Guido Sarducci.
Yes.
But I do remember that video very vividly. And just kind of being blown away by it, you know, being 8 years old, you know, not really realizing, you know, what I'm watching and, who is this guy? I mean, this was before I even became a fan of the Beatles and you know, Paul McCartney.
Before you were even a fan, you just saw it just to see
it. Right, yeah. I saw it. Yeah, exactly. Saturday Night Live runs very deep in my family. I mean, it's something that it's a, you know, kind of tradition that I keep doing. You say what you want about the recent cast but anyways, it's my number two. And nice. Great video, great time. Like you said, I mean, you pointed out all the different characters that he portrayed in the video, and you know, Linda gets to play two different people as well, so that's kind of cool. And I think her other person is kind of like
your number two and my number two are the same. Oh, cool.
Are the same. Yeah. So, fun video. Interesting that it took 25 hours to produce. It's cool. Flash forward, I think 5 or 6 years later, VH1 would do spotlights on video, you know, on somebody's career, you know, on the weekend. So, you know, obviously they had the Paul McCartney spotlight, and then, you know, they would play this Coming Up video like every 2 hours or something like that. And, you know, you just get to, you know, see it more as a Beatle fan by then. You know, it was just really cool to see this video nonstop, especially when VH1 would do those spotlight weekends on a musician.
Oh,
and
the best,
you know. Yeah, yeah. So great video, great song in my opinion, and one of his best.
So hopefully, and the studio. I like this. I'm like John Lennon. I like the studio version better than the live version.
Right.
Around, I
hopefully our number ones won't be the same, this is great so far. We're our picks are pretty much different.
I have a feeling they might be the same. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. Well, what year is your video is your number one from?
I'm not gonna say. Just go ahead and say your number one.
All right, my number one video is from 2 years later. And it's from the Tug of War album, and that is the Take It Away video. That's my number one. I can't see that. Oh! I knew it. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so listen.
Fine. I mean, the bottom three were different. You know, the top two are the same. That's fine. But, you know, go ahead.
Take It Away. Why it's my number one. Lots of reasons. Now, this is what we talked about at the beginning about how certain videos were just made very carefree, like press, not a lot of kind of thought or production went into that. Take It Away is the total opposite. Shot in June of 82, took 5 days to produce and shoot this video. But it was not produced by Kiefko. This was produced by a company called Moving Picture Company. And it was largely shot at the EMI's L Street Studios, which, if you've seen Give My Regards to Broad Street, a lot of stuff was filmed there as well. And most of this video was filmed at L Street Studios as well. You've got Steve Gadd, Ringo, George Martin, Eric Stewart, and Linda in the video. And also featuring in the video is British actor John Hurt.
Who were friends at the time.
And what I like about the video, other than it being just a good song and a good video, is that, in my opinion, it's Paul trying to recreate in 3 or 4 minutes how the Beatles became the Beatles, right? Lyrics of the song, you know, there's a, you know, some important impresario with a paper in his hand. That's Brian Epstein through and through, driving a car, going to a gig to see a band, okay, in a hall like the Cavern. I mean, to me, it's Paul talking about, you know, Brian Epstein discovering the Beatles in a modern context for the time. In a very tastefully done way. You know, everything about the video is great. You've got clips of the band playing at different times in the beginning, like in a little bit of a house jamming, you know, and then it cuts to John Hurt driving to go check out the band. Then it cuts to the band at the gig playing. And then, you know, John Hurt meeting up with the band afterwards. Even when it cuts to, like, you know, after hours, lay in the bar, and they show the kind of the table empty and all that stuff. Everything was tastefully done with this video. I don't think it won any awards, but to me, it's a microcosm of the Beatles, you know, getting discovered and Paul attempting to recreate that. And again, which kind of goes into our thought, which we talked about, you know, in our episode last time about the favorite album covers. Take It Away, this video, Tug of War, Lennon has died a year before. So now this is Paul really kind of going back into, like, you know, really sentimental times, right? He's going back into a period of his life that, you know, he loved. And I think that's, you know, you hear today on there and the cover. And this video is just him kind of coming to terms with all that and doing it in an awesome job. And that's why it's my number one.
Yeah, I mean, I got to echo what you said. I mean, really appreciate what you said. You know, it's sentimental, you know, looking back. I think that's why, you know, it's important that they had Ringo and George Martin in that video as well. You know, really adds to the story. You know, there's also a shot of them, I think, in the recording studio before it gets to the big, you know, afterwards, you know, the big show.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, when we had Richard Buskin on, he said that he was in that video as well as one of the people that were, you know, clapping their hands, you know, at the end, which was kind of funny, you know, knowing how you know, little he likes McCartney's solo career. But anyways, yeah, it's a great story. Sentimental reasons for me too. You know, watching it with my grandparents at the time, and they were explaining to me the whole story, you know, a lot of story, because my uncle was a huge Beatles fan, who wasn't there at the time, you know, watching it with us. But anyways, it's just a perfect video, tells the story perfectly. It's what a video should be. It just fits the song. And I mean, it's always been my number one favorite video of Paul McCartney. always.
Yeah, I'm pretty. It's pretty cool that we did have both number ones same. Also, to the people at the end clapping their hands, I believe they were all members of the Wings Fun Club, and they were invited to go to do that. And that's them at the end.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I like it too because again, at the time, you know, when you listen to Take It Away, unless you had the single version, you know, it was always crossfaded with the end of Tug of War. To hear the actual song open up staccato with just the drums by itself,
right?
Very, very, very cool. And you see the picture, you know, you see the picture of Ringo, and right away you're going, this is like another Beatles song. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's as good as a Beatles song. That's with George Martin in the fold, Ringo, Paul.
Right.
That's a Beatles song. I mean, I know it's not, you know, the four of them, but for all intents and purposes, that's what it is. And I think that's why. It resonates with people like us.
I always loved the beginning of that song, and it's so cool that that's how the beginning of the video starts with the spotlight of the two drummers,
right?
You know, doing
right
their thing,
right in,
you know,
picture, and then right into Steve Gadd and Ringo swapping, you know.
Yes.
Getting the feel down, you know.
Picture perfect.
Yeah, and it's aside from being a great song, it's a great video. Which so, you know, it's both. Even if there was no video, the song would still rank high on anybody's list. But take a great song and take a video that kind of went with a lot of thought and ideas behind it. You know, no surprise, it's our number one. And I'm sure if people, you know, chime in, comments and fans and stuff like that, I'm sure that takeaway is up there as well. It would have to be.
Oh yeah.
Take it away. Don't you wanna stay?
definitely. You know, other favorites of mine would also be, you know, Press is another one that could have been on my top five. No More Lonely Nights is another one that could have been on my top five. You know, My Brave Face, Pipes of Peace. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff from the 80s, you know, that was like, you know, my time. You know, a couple from the 70s that, you know, also that I enjoy from time to time. I kind of dig, you know, not Heart of the Country, I'm sorry, but Helen Wheels, I think, is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, especially when they're in the car part and they're, you know, they're standing up from the seats,
I think that's kind of cool.
I kind of dig No Other Baby too. The video for that, I think, is kind of powerful video for that. And then we also got to say, you know, Little Willow, which, you know, was never a single, but I think it was played once on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I think that's the only time that it ever got any kind of airplay on TV. But, you know, another powerful video.
Yeah, yeah, very, very powerful video. I like the No Other Baby video. Yeah, and again, some of those videos over the last 20 years have been lost in the mists of time of pre-YouTube, and you know, you had to either see it, but they're really good. I mean, even Brown Out Had Some Man. He's got some, you know, and you know, of course, Beautiful Night was there was an elaborate video for that.
Yeah,
as well, and that's
featuring of Linda. I think
last footage of Linda in a video, and she's there looking away. Very poignant moment, for sure. Beautiful Night being in there. Actually, I ended up liking the version from the documentary though better than the official video. The official video is great because Ringo's in that too, right? But Ringo's in that as well. So. Yeah, lots of different. I'm not surprised that most of our choices were in the 80s because, again, that's when the video age was ramped up. But there was 70s had some good ones too. I mean, you know, I said with a little luck, you know, again, it's corny, it's a little bit with the kids in there.
It's a little bit,
but some of those ones for Back to the Egg are tremendous. You know, Winter Rose.
Oh, absolutely.
And Getting Closer is a great video too. You know, so hopefully in another year or two, we'll have that whole set complete. We'll do our least favorite ones now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go too crazy into it, but that's just you know, I'll start off this time.
Yeah,
but I'll just name my five least favorites. You know, you mentioned With a Little Luck. I love that song so much. I love it so much, but I just get annoyed with the video. I mean, it's cute, you know, it's cute to see all the kids dance and whatever, but it's just not a favorite. And then unfortunately too, you know, with London Town, the video for London Town again is just not really,
a little bit lazy there, you know, just like, okay, yeah. Just in the studio walking down, you know, it's like, okay, come on, really?
Right. You know, and again, another song that I love, but I'm not a big fan of the video, Off the Ground, which, is another song that I really enjoy, but the video just does nothing for me, unfortunately. Yeah. A song that thankfully wasn't a single for Band on the Run, Pneumonia. You know, I know that was a proposed single, and I know they made the promotional video for it, and that's on here. Just doesn't, you know, work
for
me.
What is it? It's just an animated thing. Yeah. The potential for that one could have been so much more.
Right. And then, unfortunately, again, another great song, Tug of War. I'm not a big fan of that video either. And, you know, it's just a simple, you know, sitting there and, you know, singing.
I like the cross cuts of them working on the song in the studio. That's cool. But I don't need black and white footage from 1910 of guys doing Tug of War. Right. I don't need to see that. Come on.
Very true, buddy. Very true.
Here's five of mine that I'm not really keen on. This one from Flowers in the Dirt. Ugh. Mm. That one's too crazy. You know, he's got all this makeup on and it's crap. I don't like that one. Surprisingly enough, Silly Love Songs. I'm not big on that one either. One's, again, seems like it's just even thrown together, just video footage, you know. The only thing I really like about that is the beginning with the cover panning over the faces.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is them just in a plane. Okay, fine, whatever. Another one I'm not crazy about, Lonely Road from Driving Rain.
Mm.
Not crazy on that one either, okay? You're Married to
Heather. Yeah, that's another one that's not on the set either.
No, it's not. You know, I'm not crazy about that one, okay? You're married to Heather Mills, you're in love, you dyed your hair, and you're in a car driving. Great, got it. Terrible song, terrible video. Bye. Spies Like Us, not so crazy about that one. I like the beginning of it. where like he's on the mm-hmm. bike going to Abbey Road. But right. it's just a little bit corny and cheesy for me. And rounding out my least would be Ue Es La Sole. Like that video.
Just kind of more like a video game.
Yeah, you know. And it's like, what? You needed to feel that song needed a video? Come on, man. Right. You know? So those are just, that's rounding out my bottom five.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. You know, not all of them are perfect, but, you know, again, this is a cool set to have. And glad it's there. And I hope everybody that's out there enjoys this set. I mean, I know I've had conversations with a few people that mentioned, you know, about how, you know, disappointed they were about the set, you know, especially with the incomplete live concerts. But, you know, we got the rock show, maybe 5 years later or something like that.
Yeah, 2012, 13, you finally got rock show. Yeah.
You know, so it's there. So yeah, anything else you want to add to the show?
Not much. No, this has been good revisiting this one. You know, I did a little bit of research beforehand, but I definitely will probably spend this evening going down memory lane and watching some of these again. It's cool to do.
The commentaries are really cool, I think. You know, a lot of information. I know he talks, when you watch the commentary or listen to the commentary for Pretty Little Head, he talks about how, you know, it is of its time.
Yeah.
You know, and whether or not you want to believe that or not, or you believe things are dated or not, I don't know. But I believe it. I mean, when you hear that song, I definitely think 80s. I mean, I do think that that song would work today. I mean, a lot of that kind of music is you know, alive and well today as well.
Absolutely would. Yeah, and if anybody hasn't heard Pretty Little Head or seen the video from Pretty Little Head, YouTube it and check it out. And Tom is on the money with his analysis of it. It's probably one of the best videos he's ever done that most people don't even know of.
Right. Cool. Let's talk about this show for a few minutes. You know, Andy and I we've been knocking out a few more shows, what we normally would right now. We both have, you know, a little bit more free time on our hands. So maybe we might be a little bit more of a weekly-ish show. We'll see how our schedule pans out. We're just going to keep having good times. You know, I've already got a couple more guests booked for April. Next week, we're going to be having Darren DeVivo on the show. We're going to be talking about the Wings singles from 1972. That would be Give Ireland Back to the Irish, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and the High, High, High Sea Moon double A-side. So looking forward to that. So as always, everybody, you guys can reach out to us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Two Legs Podcast. Please check out our YouTube page, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. If you like what you see, please subscribe to that. And, you know, Andy, it's always a joy to do this show with you. Look forward to it every time we have time to record. And, you know, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. We're just, you know, we're keep on keeping on. I've got a lot of friends and family who support the show, which is so nice, it's hard to think now. I mean, what is it? When did we start? We got together in September, right?
September. Yeah,
it's crazy how the months are flying by, but, you know, it's nice that we can kind of get together and do this, and we have much more time to do it now. hopefully not too much longer, but I'm very appreciative to family and friends and people that subscribe to us and check us out on YouTube. I know we always get some great comments on there. The turnaround is pretty quick to try to get these posted. I know in the future, possibly, maybe we were thinking about maybe doing a live episode, maybe in time for McCartney's the release of the anniversary of the 50th album of McCartney. So we would like to do that kind of almost the way Tom does Talk More Talk live with his co-host. I'd like to maybe think about doing that for April sometime if time permits. But I definitely would like to do that. And we could discuss that album coming out again 50 years later. So we'll see what the future holds.
That's great. I love it. So once again, thank you, everybody, for watching, for listening. I hope you're all staying safe. I hope you're all washing your hands. I know it sucks right now. We all got to, you know, a lot of us are staying in. A lot of us are have no choice to stay in because that's what our governments or governors or, you know, whoever's telling us to stay in. And I think in the long run, I think it's going to help. However much it sucks right now, but
it sucks. You know, it sucks. But we're gonna come out of it much stronger. I'm telling you.
I believe that 100%. So everybody, once again, thank you very much. So for Andy, myself, Tom, everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. So long.